breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Live and local, it's time for Fan Sports Sunday. If the weekend is a big desert for sports talk, think of this show as an oasis.
Yes, here we go.
Come drink from our pool of hot takes as you quench your thirst with.
I thought I was going somewhere, but I'm not.
So let's just start the show. Here's Elon Musk.
Not Elon Musk. Tito, Jen, Caleb with you today. Going till 1 o'clock before we get to the Ohio State, the warm-up show, the Fan warm-up show with Timmy Hall. He'll be in the building here.
Yeah.
If he's not already. He might be out there.
I haven't seen him yet.
Lurking. Like Common Man. Jen, how are you today?
I'm good. I want to be transparent.
Please.
I clogged the toilet. So,
Here?
No, at home. Too much toilet paper, which is what Common Man always yells at his wife about. Also, and non-sports Matt is in Dayton at a comic show until at least 7 o'clock tonight. So I'm going to go to your house and use your bathroom.
And boom goes the dynamite.
That's right.
Well done by you.
We have one of these crazy plungers.
I'm all about transparency.
But I don't know. I tried plunging it and it didn't work. And so if anybody out there wants to, I don't know, tweet me some sort of YouTube video to show how I can unclog my toilet, I would love you forever. You can find me at JenWinters971 on Twitter/X. And if you want to send something obscene to me also, please don't do that, but I would find it amusing.
It's in the hole!
That's right. So, it's my morning. I think also there might have been a makeup wipe that ended up in the toilet by accident, which you're not supposed to flush those either. So, yeah, I'm telling on myself.
I don't know.
Just threw it in.
If I've ever regretted asking how are you?
No. This is what I'm dealing with right now. No. So for 2 hours, I'm just happy to be here and not at home.
Now I'm scared. Caleb, how are you?
I was ready for that either, Tito, but I'm good.
That's fair. Caleb, I'm not that's ready the for best that either. Answer I've ever heard.
I am slightly under the weather, I will be honest. I'll also keep it transparent, but...
But not as transparent.
Yeah, maybe not as transparent as you understand.
We've got a big show lined up for you today if you're still listening. We got John Gerber, 11:46. Porny's going to join us from 12. Aaron Port's live from The Athletic. Talk about the Jackets. Kevin McGuff, Ohio State Buckeyes, 12:32. He will join us. Now, I want to get this out of the way. I don't think McGuff's listening, but if he is, I will be transparent. A week ago at this time,
mm-hmm.
Our mood was so much different.
I know.
Okay. Yeah. It was warm outside.
It was.
Ohio State was getting ready to take on Iowa.
Uh huh.
We were super stoked.
We had locked up the Big Ten championship for the regular season.
Not a care in the world.
Right. Yeah. And so we were like, and now we wake up today with an hour less sleep. In theory, you didn't get an hour less. You didn't get an hour less. Anybody who's got kids got an hour less. That's all I'm saying.
Well, no. But again, I'm the one who hadn't fell back in my in the bedroom on the clock. The clock stayed. So I've been, my mind's been messed up for the past few months, but now I have to remember.
Last few months?
Well, okay, forever.
Your mind's messed up last few months.
But yeah.
Delusional Jen thinks her mind's been messed up for the last few months.
45 years.
So, but I'm saying now it's cold. We have snow going on out there.
I was like, are you kidding me?
We lose an hour of sleep. Ohio State got thumped in the tournament by Maryland.
It was a terrible game.
21 points, 82-61 on Friday.
They just weren't in it.
We got to bring the vibes back, though, because men's team is,
Right, it's a big one for the men today against Rutgers. Yes, they're favoring on the road, which is amazing.
Yes.
We got to pick it up a little bit, a little bit.
Yeah, we got to get excited about that. The women losing that game on Friday was disappointing. Caitlin Clark and Iowa, by the way, take on Nebraska in the Big Ten Championship today.
Well, and we know what happened the last time Nebraska took on
Iowa. So,
They pulled Caitlin Clark back so she could do the scoring record at home, and they won.
I think that
Nebraska won.
I think Ohio State women are going to be a 2 seed when it's all said and done.
You're totally right.
Tournament. I hope they don't go to a 3. I think they'll be a 2.
But at least, though, they're going to be hosting the first two from the
shot. They will, no matter what, yes. But if I'm on the committee, I'm looking at the fact that Ohio State has lost their last two games. Iowa, Maryland. Maryland game was ugly.
Maryland game was ugly.
Iowa was ugly, too.
And Iowa was ugly. But, and then, like, it sucks that Maryland had to lose to Nebraska.
Right. Maryland going on to play Iowa would have been a better look for Ohio State. Yeah. But look, and I'm telling you, and we'll talk to McGuff about this, but Maryland's a damn good team.
They're
a well-coached team.
True.
And it is, and it's a cliche, I know, but it's true. It is tough to beat any team three times in one season.
That's correct.
So.
It just, we just didn't expect it that way.
No, not the 82-61. McMahon went 3 for 17 for the field.
Yeah.
It just. It was not a pretty game. So. The Ohio State women, like I say, I wish we weren't talking to McGuff today because I wish he was getting ready for the championship game against Iowa. But nonetheless, Indiana got knocked off too, the number three seed in the tournament. And that's why we've got an Iowa, Nebraska. I'm sure that CBS, is CBS broadcasting the game? We know that. Whoever's broadcasting the game, might be Fox.
It's Fox, I think.
Whoever's broadcasting it is not happy that they're happy it's Iowa, not happy though that it's not Iowa, Ohio State.
Right.
But Iowa, Nebraska today in the Big Ten championship game.
They got that. Well, CBS had that last week.
Yeah.
That's right.
USC, Stanford in the Pac-12 title game. Did you see the South Carolina game against Tennessee?
So close. Oh, my God. That ending was nuts.
So, South Carolina, you know, undefeated this season.
Yep.
And fantastic story out there. But they're playing Tennessee in the semifinal game in the SEC. And there was a young lady for South Carolina, and her name is Camilla Cardoso. Leading scorer this year, I believe, for the team.
Yes.
But nonetheless, a taller young lady who has attempted 1-3, I believe, in her career
her
when she was
career.
A freshman, like at, yes. at some other school, and she was a freshman somewhere else because she transferred over. Anyway, South Carolina, 23-point lead in that game. The Volunteers, Tennessee, came back and had a one-point lead with 1.1 seconds left. And Dawn Staley had the guts to call a play to where they're going to pass it to Cardoso for a three.
Right.
Which is just insane. But she makes a three and wide open. No one's guarded. Tennessee, I don't know, coaching breakdown there, whatever. But South Carolina escapes with a win there. And now they head to the SEC championship game. It's her first career three-pointer as a senior. First career three-pointer she's ever made.
I know.
Nobody. They were double-teaming elsewhere. They left her wide open.
She was so wide open. Yeah. There was no one within, I'd say, 10 feet of her.
Right. And now they play an LSU team that's been ravaged by injuries. I think South Carolina's going to win this. That's fine. They'll be undefeated going into the NCAA tournament. But, yeah, so it was a big win there for South Carolina. I totally expect them to win again today against LSU.
It makes you wonder, though, how affected are they by the way that game ended? Even though they won, like,
right.
are they a little worse for wear? I mean,
I think it's good. I think that getting the scare there is good.
It is.
And good. LSU only played 7 players, and now one of those players they played in their semifinal game is going to be out for today because she had a concussion. I think she's out for today. They went to the hospital last night. But so they only played 7 yesterday, and one of them ended up in the hospital. So I don't know if she's playing today or not, but nonetheless, we'll see about that. The CBJ lost 2-1 in a matinee over at Nationwide Arena in Nashville.
Kids take over.
What does that mean?
That means they just had kids doing, like, Mike Todd was there with a couple of kids, and the kids
were doing the announcements?
Yeah, and it all tied to what ESPN was doing, and it was something called, like, the City League.
Okay.
Or something, or Big City Game, where everything, if you watched it on the Disney Channel, was animated.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. But it was, I don't know. So I think that's probably what they did around the NHL yesterday, so... I don't know. CBJ lose and Jack Roslovic is gone.
Yep. We'll talk to Porty about all of that. Crew beat Chicago 2-1. The Browns traded for Jerry Jeudy. I think it's got to, like, wait for a couple of days before it's official. But yes, they are trading for Jerry Jeudy. They are trading a 5th and a 6th round pick this year for the former first round pick.
Do you think he's worth a 5th and a 6th round
pick? Yes.
Yeah,
100%.
Let me say this. Is he worth it? I think it's worth the risk.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Fair.
Jeudy, former first round pick, entering the final year of his deal. The Broncos already picked up his 5th year option. So I think it's a smart trade for the Browns to do something like this. So now they've got some great receivers. They've got receivers with great potential.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see. I feel like I'm the most optimistic person in the world about this right now, because everybody else is like, yeah, Jerry, he's, or, you know, the Steve Smith, he's just a guy. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I feel like when Jerry Jeudy was coming out, he was, you know, talked about as being one of the best runners that we had seen in a while. I mean, and he's still like fairly young. I mean, he hasn't had like the best situation, I feel like, in Denver. I mean, you know, that's the other thing is like, yes, he hasn't been very good, but like, he's also playing for the Broncos. I mean, Russell Wilson wasn't, I mean, they didn't have great quarterback play last year.
Well,
you know,
and he's like, had what, at least three head coaches in his 4 years.
That's the thing. Yeah. Look at the quarterbacks. At the Broncos. Thing. Whenever we talk about Justin Fields or other quarterbacks, like, hey, that guy had this many coaches, this many offensive coordinators. Jerry Jeudy's got a situation like that as well.
It's pretty much the same. And then, I mean, not a consistent quarterback. I mean, you had Russell Wilson for 2 years, but I mean, at the end of the last season, they pulled Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah, it's just, it's not been a good situation for him. So, I mean, I would like to see what he can do. And I'm sure Stefanski can figure it out with him up in Cleveland.
He's a great number two receiver, right?
Yes.
He should not be a number one receiver.
No, he's not a number
one. He's a damn good number two, though. If Cooper's the one and he's the two.
And like little Alabama connection there, like, you know, they already know each other. I'm sure Amari will, you know, he's getting older. I mean, you got to kind of groom the next guy to be there. So,
well, and I mean, David Njoku, I know he's a tight end, but he came out and he was like awesome.
Yeah.
Last season, at the end of last season. So, no, it's good. I mean, for Browns fans, I guess it's good.
Just, in 2022, he caught 67 passes. And six touchdowns, 972 yards. So he's never eclipsed the 1,000-yard receiving. But again, it's Denver. There's been obviously terrible coaching before. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, you bring in, who am I thinking of here?
Sean Payton.
You bring in Sean Payton. And so that maybe helps things. But now Payton's trying to get a different vibe. And there are some of the guys that are cutting and trading and whatnot.
Well,
with,
I mean,
Wilson,
you can tell he's just trying to clear house and start over. And I mean, it makes the most sense, and do it throughout, you know, the draft and then free agency when that happens.
So we'll see how that, but I think it's a smart trade by the Browns, trade a 5 and a 6 to get Jeudy. I like that move for them. There's gotta be so much going on today. It's women's basketball. I get it, that it's not going to have the same necessarily like the draw that men's basketball has, but nonetheless, USC Stanford, the Pac-12 title game, I think it's on ESPN. It's gonna be a lot of fun to watch.
Yes.
Yes, I am excited about that one. That'll be a good one. And now South Carolina, LSU, you got Iowa, Nebraska. There's so much going on in the world of sports today, not to mention the other like regular season men's basketball that's winding down as we wrap up the Big Ten regular season today. You've got Ohio State taking on Rutgers. We'll have the coverage on this one here. Another big opportunity for Ohio State to get a win. And look, if they win this, waiting to see is like on these different bracketologists or whatever. I want to see Ohio State on the bubble.
And they're not even listed yet.
They're not. That's, I don't know if a win today would get them there or not, like where they're on the bubble or, you know, considered or whatever you want to put it in there. I think a win today should get them in that conversation if they go to 19-12.
And it would put what, Diebler at 6-1 since he took over?
I think that's right.
So, I mean, I think going into the Big Ten Championship, well, like just to see where they're going to go and like where they land within the, you know, the rankings would be interesting. But maybe if they can do it today and hold on and go for a win, we'll start seeing them on the first four out. I mean, that'd be really exciting.
Like I said, lots to get into today. We've got John Gerber, 1146. Aaron Portsline joins us at noon from The Athletic to talk about. John Gerber, our betting expert. Aaron Portsline, our Blue Jackets expert. Kevin McGuff, our Ohio State women's basketball expert, I guess. Also the head coach of the team. That's probably the second thing on the resume after being the expert for us. Coming up next, Ohio State football's 2025 recruiting class got better without adding any players. We'll talk about that next. Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
We're the highest rated sports radio station in America. There's no joke there. We just are. The Fan. Ohio sports destined. Garnish your Bloody Mary with sports talk. You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday, Tito, Jen, Caleb with you. Thank you so much for spending part of your Sunday with us. I promise you, you'll hear no more news about Jen's toilet.
Well, I mean, if someone wants to help me, that'd be awesome.
Call the plumber.
No, I don't. If it's something that can be plunged, but I'm just too stupid to know how to use a plunger, then okay. But, you know. Hey, guess what?
What's that?
Mac Jones. He's gone.
He's a former Patriot.
He's gone.
Dunzo.
Done.
What do you get traded for, Caleb?
You said sixth, right?
Sixth round pick.
Crazy.
A couple years ago, they used a first round pick on him. Now he's a sixth, and he's a backup to Trevor Lawrence.
He's going to the Jags.
It's not a backup to a quarterback that's aging.
No.
It's not like he's going to backup Rodgers.
Right. Yeah, like, what is his role there now? I'm like,
oh, but you guys, Mac Jones was born in Jacksonville, so he's going home.
I think his role
play that song
is trying to tie Trevor Lawrence's shoes together when he's not looking on the sidelines, so he trips and gets hurt.
I think you're right. That's exactly what he's doing. He's going to be the ultimate prankster, and he's in it. So
he was traded along with a clipboard for a sixth round pick because that's what he's holding in Jacksonville.
Yes, oh yes. Yeah. So well, congrats.
Nice drafting, Belichick.
Yes.
Overrated. So Ohio State's 2025 class got better because they added a five-star without adding another player. So Tavion St. Clair, who is the quarterback in Bell Fountain, which is about 60 miles northwest of Columbus. I know that from driving through Bell Fountain to get to Van Wert, Delphus, Lima, all those places up there where I family.
Non-sports Matt's family is from.
From where?
Bell Fountain area.
Are they really?
Yeah.
So 6'3.5", 210-pound quarterback is now a five-star. Was a four-star, committed to Ohio State. Now he's a five-star. So the Buckeyes add a five-star without adding a player. And just further increases, like, this Ohio State recruiting trail is just, the train's just amazing. It's what they're doing every year recruiting-wise. And St. Clair, now a five-star. Ohio State's got several five-stars now in that 2025 class. It will only keep getting better. They started practicing this week, past week. And Jen, you were out there.
I was.
Okay, so what was the experience, the first time being out there for you for something like this, right?
Yes, first time. Okay. I'm very grateful that my guy, Timmy Hall, was able to join me that first day because I felt like a kid going to school for the first time.
Yep.
And it's like, look at all these people that I know from the media and I respect. And then my dumbass is also here. Okay. And so I just kind of stood there in awe.
Did you just call yourself a dumbass?
I am a dumbass. breaking news. It was very interesting to see. I mean, I spent a lot of time in high school with my high school football team watching practice, but nothing on the scale like this.
It's amazing seeing those people up in person, right? Like the athleticism, their size and speed.
Huge.
You can see it on TV and it's fine, whatever. Right. But you see it like in person, it's like
holy crap.
Yeah.
These dudes are built.
Yes.
And I mean, they're not like wearing full pads or anything like that either.
Right.
The quarterback class is amazing because there's like 20 of them. And they're really easy to spot because they're all wearing the black jerseys. And so they travel in packs together, and watching them was fun. Watching the defense was amazing. Just their little like drills that they would run. Mm-hmm. And then to see Chip Kelly out there is the most amazing thing to me. And it's like, I'm not like a huge Chip Kelly fan, but he's kind of like, he's an enigma to me because we would never expect to see him in Columbus.
Sure.
You know, he was in Oregon. He was the Eagles head coach.
Niners head coach.
And the Niners head coach. And he was the UCLA head coach. And so it's just like to see that guy, you know, 25 yards away from you in the middle of the field. It's just like, holy crap, this is really cool.
I loved the Bill O'Brien hiring when it happened, but I'm glad it's Chip Kelly instead of Bill O'Brien.
And I think it's because of the relationship that he has with Ryan Day. And like you could even tell seeing the two of them interact on the field together, you can tell that they have a very good relationship already. And it was just, it's amazing to see. And then when I went out there on Thursday, I felt like, okay, I know exactly what they're going to be doing, how it's going to work.
Right.
It's just the precision and their drills, and they do something and it's like a circuit, you know, so they do it for like about 3 minutes and then they run to another part of the field, do something else. It's really fascinating to watch, and I'm excited to go back the other couple times that they're going to have the media in there. And then Pro Day. I'm super psyched for Pro Day. So, which is going to be on the 20th.
That should be a lot of fun also. But the Chip Kelly thing, because I get the sense that because of their relationship, their long term, like Ryan Day played for Chip Kelly.
Right.
The fact that they've got that trust, like the Day, I feel like Day would probably be, and no knock on Bill O'Brien, but just because of the relationship and the past experiences, I have to believe that Day has more built-in immediate trust with Kelly Absolutely. Than he would with O'Brien.
No, you're totally right. And I mean, you think about how Chip Kelly, his job is great now.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't have to do the stuff that that made him hate being the head coach of UCLA.
Right.
And he can just focus on making the offense better.
And that's what's great about it, too, is the fact that, you know, and I've always said this, being an offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator for Ohio State is a great job because most days, now it's going to change with the schedule and with the Pac-12 merging into the Big Ten a little bit, but most games, so this year, in their 12 regular season games, I bet in 9 of the games, maybe 10 of the games, they will have a clear advantage. They'll have better offense than the other team's got defense.
Yes.
They'll have a better talent level on the offensive side of the ball than the defensive side of the ball for the other team will have. And that's a great advantage.
It is. And you think about it, Chip is coming in from the Pac-12, well, the decimated Pac-12, right. The no more Pac-12.
Sure.
But he's got a leg up on all four teams.
Sure. Yep.
Which Bill O'Brien didn't have. He was just making sure Mac Jones knew, you know, what side to, you know, run down.
There you go.
So I'm happy. I'm excited. It'll be good to see how they all kind of gel together. And then, you know, the spring game will be sooner than later.
Here's Chip Kelly talking about his decision to come to Ohio State.
Sometimes I do a lot of things other people don't do. So I don't know if that's right or wrong, but I think it started when we were preparing for our bowl game. Ryan Gunderson, who's a great quarterback coach, left to go to Oregon State as the coordinator, so he wasn't there. So I actually coached quarterbacks during the bowl game, and I just started to think, like, I hadn't actually coached a position since 2008. And then I think my wife remarked, she's like, I haven't seen you this happy in a long time. And to me, the best part of football is football. And so you got to do football and not do some of the things that involved with the head coaching deal. And I had a chance after we beat Boise in the bowl game, and as we started recruiting, just to kind of think about what that experience was like, and then I get to make the decision on what my future is going to be, and so what do I want to do? So I started to look into, is there an opportunity, and it would have been the right spot to go somewhere and just coach a position again and be back with that group. Because I think as a head coach, you sit in on position meetings, but then you're always getting pulled out. And there's other things that are involved with being a head coach. And I think it's more of a CEO operation right now. You know, it's the job and the landscape, as we all know, of college football has changed. So I just thought at the time that, you know, there's a story about John Lennon when he was a little kid that had an assignment of what do you want to be when you grow up? And he said, I want to be happy. And then his teacher said, I don't think you understand the assignment. And his mom said, I don't think you understand life. So I just want to be happy. And I'm really happy coaching a position, really happy to be at this place. You know, it would have taken a special place for me to leave UCLA because I love those players and I love that coaching staff. But to be here with Ryan, I had a great relationship. I've known Ryan since he was a little kid. So I think a lot of things just fell into place that way.
He was going to get fired at UCLA.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, it's fine. You're going to get fired.
No, I'm not knocking him. But look, the way the stars align, though, like if this had happened 2 years ago, Chip Kelly, I don't think, leaves UCLA to come here.
I think you're right.
And if it happens after he gets fired, the Bill O'Brien or somebody else would be in the OC. So, like the stars align perfectly with Chip Kelly. So I'm not knocking that at all. I think it's a great move for Chip Kelly, a smart move for Chip Kelly, a smart move for Ohio State. But his time at UCLA was going to end, and he has not been a great head coach for a long time. I'm sorry, let me put this the right way. He has not had great success as a head coach for a long time.
No, he has
not. He fizzled out in Philly. Great at Oregon. Started off great in Philly. Fizzled out Philly. Awful year at San Francisco.
Was he only there a year?
I think 1 year is all he was there. And then UCLA was a disappointment, I think, for what the Bruins expected when they hired him. So, but I think he's a fantastic addition. I think it's going to be a tremendous addition to this offense to see him out there. And I love the fact that Ryan Day trusts him. All right, coming up next, Fox makes a big announcement regarding the upcoming football season. We'll do that next. Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rockman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fans. Live, local, and still slightly drunk.
I'm not drunk, all right? I just have a speech impediment.
This is Fan Sports Sunday.
Slightly. I'm Tito. She's Jen. He's Caleb. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Here with you till 1 o'clock before we get to the Ohio State, the Fan pregame show. Fan, is it called Fan pregame show? Fan.
Ohio State men's basketball pregame
Timmy
show?
Timmy does it. No, it's a fan. I think it's called the Fan.
The warm-up.
The Fan Warm-Up Show. That's what it's called, with Timmy Hall.
Getting super warm with Timmy.
43-year-old Tim Hall will join us for that.
He's not 43.
Okay, how old is he?
He's 40. He just turned 40.
He's a man. He's 43.
He actually did that whole thing on his birthday, the whole Mike Gundy thing.
Did he do it?
He did.
The entire speech?
The entire speech. He recorded it and played it during the Buckeye show.
Mad respect.
It was pretty awesome.
Fox announced something this week. They said they're going to do a Friday primetime college football game every week of the college football season. Now, the games will be either from the Big 12, Mountain West, or Big 10.
Oh.
So there's three options there. They've caught some flack for that because people who are wanting to say, no, high school football is Friday night, not college football. Shut up.
Well, they've been doing that on the Big Ten Network.
There's been some games here and there. Not consistently, but there has been some games. Yes. I have no problem with Fox doing this. There are a lot of people out there who either A, don't have kids in high school, or B, don't go to high school football games, or C, both.
True.
So I don't care. I think it's great that Fox wants to own. They want to own Friday night. They want to own Saturday. They want to have the best college football game possible, like highest rated game on Saturday. And they obviously want to do it on Sunday with the NFL.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. I do go to some high school football games. I live close to the UA high school. Mm-hmm. I go to some of the Upper Arlington games, probably two or three a year. Sometimes I know like the parents of a kid who's playing. I'll go check it out, whatever.
Right.
If Ohio State's playing, I'll stay and watch Ohio State. If it's a game I don't want to watch, I'll go to the football game, maybe the high school game, come back and watch the second half. I don't know why people are so territorial about this.
And the thing is now is like, and everybody has a thing in their pocket or purse that's a mini television. Right. So even if you're at that game, the high school football game, you can still access everything on your phone.
Everyone that's pounding their fist about, oh no, high school football's on Friday nights, are the same as, hey, wait. Every store should be closed on Sundays. Doesn't happen. It's not realistic.
It's not.
I don't have a problem with Fox doing this.
I don't have a problem with it either. The only problem I have is disrupting a work day. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah. Well, it'll be if Ohio State plays a Friday night game on Fox, it's going to drastically adjust what goes on here, especially with the home game.
It'll be very weird.
It'll be weird, especially the home game.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, imagine what your day would look like. Because if they have like, oh yeah, we do a primetime game on Friday night, you've got to get down there for the event. It changes our programming big time.
Good Lord.
But it's like, I don't mind that. The Black Friday NFL game, fine.
It was fine.
It doesn't bother me.
No.
Watch it if you want to watch it. Don't if you don't want to.
And that's like, it's so accessible. Even if you don't have your phone with you, someone sitting around you will. I mean, it's everybody knows what's going on at all times now.
You've got choices on this stuff.
Yes.
As much people say, oh yeah, no, it's high school football Friday night. High school football Friday night. No, you know what? I'm a fan of options.
Yeah.
Okay. And I can choose if I want to go to a high school football game, or if I want to watch the game at home, or if I want to do both, like you said, watch it on my little screen while I'm at the game, or go to the first half of that. I am fine with options. I am fine if the NFL wants to play games every Friday. If the NFL wants to do that, I'm fine with it too. Play a game. I don't care.
I don't care either.
If I want to watch it, I'll watch it.
I don't know. People just want to get upset about something, so this is the new thing.
I don't think it's going to take away from high school football. If you're in a community where your high school football team is very, very important, most of the time it's smaller communities, but nonetheless, even some of the bigger communities.
Yeah.
If you are in a community where high school football trumps all, guess what? It will still trump all.
Yes.
Oh, I'm just getting all upset about this.
Don't get upset. It's fine. You know, it's going to end up happening, obviously.
Right.
And you just decide. You live your own life. We are not telling you what to do with your lives.
I don't want people complaining about Miami Vice being on Friday nights during high school football season.
Or
Did
Dallas.
I date myself? Or Dallas. Or Dukes of Hazzard. I never saw one person say, how can you have Bo and Luke Duke and the General Lee on Friday night when my high school team is playing?
That was a time before VCRs.
Choices. It's choices. And I'm fine with options.
I am too.
Fox made a huge financial commitment.
Oh my gosh, yes they did.
To the Big Ten. Granted, not so much the Mountain West or whatever, but still, it's... And Ohio State, breaking news, will play on a Friday night at some point soon.
Might
be this year.
Wasn't it they played Northwestern
I think it was. Yeah, they're going to do it again, though. But it's like Ohio State doesn't want to do it. You know what? Ohio State will end up having to do it because of the money they're making from this deal with Fox. Everyone's going to have to do it. Now, it's not going to be Ohio State, Oregon. It's not going to be Ohio State, Michigan, obviously. No. But Ohio State will play insert crappy second level Big Ten team here, or Western Michigan, or Akron. You know what I mean? They're going to play a game on a Friday night. It's going to happen, and that's okay.
It is.
And you can make a choice. Do I want to go watch my high school football team and my community play, or do I want to watch Ohio State, or do I want to do both, or do I want to DVR the Ohio State game? Da, 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 da. You've got choices.
Yes.
I love high school football. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah. No, high school football, I mean, especially in Ohio.
Yes.
Is you know, that's our smaller communities. They thrive on that, but it's just, it's fine. It's okay. We can have big boy football and high school football coexisting at the same time.
The person who was most recently in high school on the other side of glass there, Caleb.
Oh, yeah.
You played point guard for Ignatius?
Indeed.
That's awesome.
How far did you guys go in the tournament in your best year?
My best year? Honestly, not far. We didn't have too much success in the tournament, unfortunately.
Right.
So round of 32?
Did you play football for Ignatius?
I did not.
All right.
Our football team, well, honestly, yeah, we had a tough go around, honestly, when I was there. Yeah. At least for football. Soccer, though, we still took home a couple of chips, but
they were really good in soccer, yeah.
Yeah. Soccer and hockey, hey, that's
right.
Where we
they're
get
playing
you.
Today, right? They're playing today.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, they're playing university school.
That's right.
Yeah.
Fun fact, was supposed to go, or not supposed to go, but US was the other school my parents wanted me to go to.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Huh?
Thank goodness that I ended up a Wildcat, though.
All right, coming up next, he's the host of From the Rough podcast, writer for Golf Central Magazine, golf betting expert John Gerber joins us next, Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
The only radio station still operating with an active booze cart. I'm drunk right now. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. During weekend programming, pants are optional.
Look at my butt!
However, leather chairs may have been a bad choice. You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday, Tito, Jen, Caleb with you. Thank you so much for joining us today until 1 o'clock. Then Timmy Hall comes on for the Fan Warm-Up Show. Ohio State takes on Rutgers today, a huge game. And now we are joined on the Bryant Heating and Cooling System Fan Guest Hotline, our good friend John Gerber, host of From the Rough podcast, writer for Golf Central Magazine, golf betting expert. Gerb, how are your picks looking for Bay Hill?
Well, good morning, guys. They're not too bad. We did 1-1 on matchups yesterday. We have Corey Connor sitting there 5 back. That's about the closest that we have. But we got some good opportunities for Puerto Rico to cash a few tickets.
That's good. The head-to-head selection where we always seem to make your money on that one. It's so tough to pick the winners on these things. And I don't know how often you do. I don't know if you have the stats on that with how often you actually. I know you put usually 3 out there and then like a ham sandwich kind of pick a longer shot. I think Connors was your longer shot this week, right?
He was our longer shot there. He sat there at 55-1. But, you know, I really like his situation. He's one of the best ball strikers on the PGA Tour. It's going to be a tough day out there, and you know he's played steady all week and hasn't really made a lot of mistakes. So we'll see how he plays today. I think Scotty's going to have to come back a little bit in the field, but with a bulky putter that Scotty has, who knows? Who knows with that?
From a golf fan perspective, betting notwithstanding, but from a golf fan perspective, having Scheffler out there, Lowry, Zalatoris is up there, a couple of shots back, Matsuyama, McIlroy's. I know McIlroy's in the top 10, but he's 4 shots back. That's got to be good for golf fans, right, and for viewership.
Yeah, certainly when those big guns are playing, especially Rory. I mean, as well as he played yesterday, shooting 5 under, I think he's going to have another round like that today to give himself a chance. But that's what they're hoping for in these elevated field events. They want the big guns to really be up there at the top, and unfortunately, a few of the guys aren't there. But, you know, look at Matsuyama today. I mean, he brings that overseas feel and it brings a lot of people to the viewing audience. So yeah, they're getting what they want.
Well, we haven't seen Will Zalatoris a lot lately. Is what's been going on with him?
Well, he's been hurt most of last year. He was hurt, and it's good to see him back.
Yeah, I
mean, he hurt his back. He had back surgery, but you know his big issue was his putting, and he switched to the longer putter. And if you watched him putt before he got hurt, I mean, that putting stroke looked like, you know, a Ferris wheel. It was all over the place, you know. So I think fixing his putter and his stroke and his putting, I think he's going to have a better year, and look forward to certainly get on that President's Cup team. I think that's one of his goals.
Is Zalatoris the guy we hate from Memorial last year? Who's the guy we hate that bowed out?
No, that was more
Coward Murakawa.
Wait, that's one. Okay. I couldn't remember, Gerb. I knew there was a guy we hated, though, because he withdrew before the fourth round, right?
Yeah, on Sunday.
Well, there's a couple other reasons why.
We'll let that one go. Tiger's not playing at Sawgrass. I think this is his last year for in like as far as like where he automatically gets in. Are you surprised Tiger's not playing?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, he withdrew from Riviera not because of his back, and I know he played in the Seminole Pro-Am last week down there in Jupiter, and it's just a weird fit. I thought he would certainly play. It's not a difficult golf course for him to walk. So, it was very strange. I mean, probably the next time we're going to see him is Augusta. Is he resting for Augusta? I don't know. He's holding everything pretty close to the chest. I mean, I don't think he's going to play Valspar after the Players Championship and Houston and San Antonio. I certainly don't think he's going to play. So I think he's healthy. I think maybe he just might be resting for Augusta.
He's the host of From the Rough podcast, writer for Golf Central Magazine, golf betting expert John Gerber. Follow him on the X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, at Jay Gerber, PGA Pro. Rory McIlroy made some comments about that he thinks that the PGA should be more cutthroat. Fewer players, fewer tour cards giving out, smaller fields. And I'm curious what your thoughts are on that. Do you agree with that? Do you think that that the PGA needs to have that? Or are you in disagreement with Rory on that sentiment?
Yeah, I'm certainly in disagreement for a few reasons. I mean, you know, I respect Rory a lot, especially how he made a big stand on LIV Golf, and I respected that. But, I mean, how much more money does Rory need? I mean, there's got to be some opportunities for these younger guys that's coming up that's earned their tour card. And, you know, you would never see the stories like a Jake Knapp that won 2 weeks ago, and he's one of the fan favorites now. So if you limited those fields, you might not see a Jake Knapp story. Or, you know, how do you feel with some of these guys that are coming up, like, you know, a Davis Thompson and a Chris Goddard up and Taylor Montgomery? I mean, these guys are up-and-coming stars on the PGA Tour, and if they don't get starts, they're just not going to have some opportunities to maybe have the next rising star.
Yeah, I hear you saying that. I think his talk was about more like, you know, you see some of the players who, like, last on the money list or whatever, or last among the tour people, how much money they're making doing this, and he thinks that it should be a smaller field. I like the smaller field for some of these tournaments, Gerb. Like, I like in these elevated events sometimes, they have the no cut and all of that, but I think I'm with you on that. I like seeing a lot of players out there competing.
You know, the issue I have with it is if you look at, like, this week, it's a small field, 69, 70 players. But what about a guy like Lucas Glover? He's supported the tour forever. He's not going to get in the event. Taylor Montgomery not getting in the event. But you give an exemption to an amateur.
Right.
And I don't understand what they're trying to do that. And I certainly don't think the tour and the players are understanding what's going on because there's so many categories and so much confusion.
So take away from this, I love the show Curb Your Enthusiasm. Have you watched the show?
I have not.
Okay, so there was an episode a couple of weeks ago where Larry David and poor Richard Lewis, who rest his soul, were playing golf on the course, and in front of them, and the group in front, was this Oscar-winning actor who is deaf. And Larry David goes to hit the ball, and they're like, yell four. And he's like, well, I'm waving my arms. He's deaf. He can't hear me. And he gets hit by the ball. So it was very amusing. What is, like, proper etiquette now? Like, if you were out there and I mean, I'm going to make you answer this question. If you know there's someone who's deaf in front of you and playing and you're going to hit the ball and you know it's going to hit them, do you yell four?
Well, you probably can, or maybe just put up your hand and put your four fingers up or something and hope they look back. I'm not really sure how that works. But you know, I'm really not. I mean, ask JT. He has to say four a lot, so he's probably used to that. So he'd have more experience.
That's three groups in front of me, and they're on the right on the other green or whatever. It's like that's where Raymond. They're on that par three when I'm on number 10. They're to my right, and that's where they would get hit.
Like, I was just watching that, and I'm just like, what would you do in a situation like that when you knew that the guy that
send
was
him a text? Right.
Yeah. Wilson Road is in range for you when you play Wilson Raymond.
It absolutely is. No doubt about it. Gerb, what's going on at the depot, bud?
Well, from what I hear, it looks like it's snowing there. So I'm en route to Columbus now, but I might have to figure out a way to get back to Scottsdale because, you know, that when I see snowflakes, I don't like it very much.
I know you don't.
But we'll be out there this week. Looks like the weather is going to be better. So we're going to be open all week. So you guys want to hit some new range balls and have some fun out there, come on out and see us.
Go on out and check out the Golf Depot. Get ready. The season's here. It's golf season now. Masters less than a month away. Gerb, we'll talk again next week, buddy. Thanks so much.
I appreciate you guys having me on.
All right. That was John Gerber, host of From the Rough Podcast, writer for Golf Central Magazine, golf betting expert. We love having him on. And follow his picks at Jay Gerber, PGA Pro. You will make money. All right. Coming up next, Aaron Portsline from Athletic joins us. Talk CBJ. We'll do that Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Timmy Hall hosts Buckeye Roundtable, a special look inside the world of Ohio State athletics, and a special look inside Timmy's neck beard.
Monday at 6.
Sports talk, weekend style. You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday, Tito, Jen, and Caleb with you. Thank you so much for spending time with us. We're here for another hour before the Fan warm-up show with Timmy Hall. Takes over these here airwaves leading into the Ohio State-Rutgers game. Big game for Ohio State, road favorite against Rutgers. We'll see what they can do under Jake Diebler as they still are hanging on to a potential NCAA tournament appearance for them. But now we're joined on the Bryant Heating Cooling System Fan Guest Hotline, our friend Aaron Portsline from The Athletic. Porty, trade deadline has come and gone. Jackets made a couple of minor trades. Do you think they were close to making any kind of major trades?
Good morning, good afternoon, Tito. They had offers to hear John Davidson tell us. They were holding off on all of those larger type moves out of respect for the next general manager who's going to take over and will be charged with sort of reshaping the roster. I think if there was something on Elvis or maybe other players that enticed them, I don't think they would have shown such restraint, they probably would have gone forward. And we don't know what some of those major, substantive offers may have been. But I know they weren't interested in, upheaving their young collection of talent. The players that are starting to pop or maybe on the verge of popping, they didn't want to go there. But Jack Roslovic was a pending UFA. Andrew Peak had sort of been squeezed out here by what the blue line had evolved to be. So those were the obvious moves. And I think there were other things dangled in front of them, but stuff that they resisted doing now until there's a permanent GM in that chair.
How do you feel about the compensation they got for those trades?
Yeah, it's a good question. And isn't Twitter fun? because whenever a deal goes down, just for instance, Pittsburgh gets a truckload of prospects for Jake Gunsel. And, I don't question the knowledge of those fans necessarily, but these are prospects they've probably never heard of. And within seconds of the trade, it's horrible. It's terrible. There are many bridges in Pittsburgh. Which one are you going to jump off at this moment? I don't think Columbus was really in that territory. You knew the return was going to be small. Roslovic's a pending UFA and is not going to be back. I also had the sense early in the process that it's probably going to go right up to 3:00. In other words, nothing against Jack, but I think there were a lot of wingers that needed to move along first before teams got to him on their list. So the compensation isn't going to be great. It's a conditional fourth in 2026. It can move up to a third if certain conditions are met. I think the Rangers have to win the Eastern Conference.
Right.
And Roslovic has to play 50% of the games. The Peak is seen, I think, by many as a limited player. I think Boston got him for exactly the purpose you would, which is a physical presence who can be a depth guy going into the playoffs. He's probably their 7 or 8 defenseman. Not that different from what Columbus was utilizing him as. The difference is Boston's got a lot of games to play, a lot of physical games to play if they have a run in the playoffs. And the old adage holds that you can never have enough defensemen. So you add up Keithy when you can. What surprised me about Peak was that he still has another 2 more years at 2.75. The fact that Columbus did not take any of that back surprised me and hits me as a bit of a win on their part.
Speaking of Ross McNally, you know, I know the narrative's like he wasn't going to be back. Is there any chance he does come back as a UFA? Is there or is he going to be priced out of the Jackets, what they want from him, or if they have room for him or not?
You know, I think it's more of if they have room for him or not. He is a top 6, at minimum top 9 type player. He's not a fourth line guy. He's certainly going to be paid more than that. I think they like him better on the wing, but if you look at this team, Tito, I mean, you've got Gaudreau, you've got Laine, assuming he comes back at some point. You've got Marchenko, Chinnikov. I mean, there are an abundance of wingers. Fantilli's played a little bit on the wing. I assume he's going to play center. But Kent Johnson will be out the rest of the season, but back next. So that's really what happened as much as anything. I think Jack was the source of frustration here, as he was in Winnipeg, because you see on some nights the considerable talent, the offensive talent. They determined they couldn't play him at center anymore here, but I think they kind of grew to like him on the wing, but not as much as some of these young players that are starting to really pop and they hope are more consistent and maybe higher end players. So I would say that's really, really unlikely. I think they end on good terms, and I think you'll see Jack Roslovic around a lot in Columbus. This is his hometown.
Yeah.
But I think the chances of him being a Blue Jacket again, certainly in the near term, are pretty small.
Have you heard anything about Laine and how he's doing?
You know, no, and you're not going to. I had some chats with the Blue Jackets people this week, and even they don't get updates on this. I think there's a consideration that with basically 1 month left in the season, the chances of seeing him again this season are getting smaller and smaller. And just to remind people, it's not now just up to Laine when he comes back. He has to be cleared by that program, the NHL, NHLPA Players Assistance Program. They have professionals who will meet with him, and they are charged with clearing him before he can return. So, you hope Patrick gets the help that he needs and comes back as is the best possible form of himself as both a person and a player versus a person. And second, it can happen whenever and as quickly as it happens. We have no idea what's going on behind the scenes with him. So I guess in theory he could still play again this season, but my sense with most people within the Blue Jackets is that the next time we see Patrick Laine on the ice will be next season.
Aaron Portsline joins us from The Athletic, covers the Blue Jackets since day one, way back when, and joining us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling System Fan Guest Hotline. Tarasov's play well lately. The record doesn't show it, but he is doing pretty well in goal, I think. Seems like the him and if he's playing well and Elvis is playing well, it could be. I know Elvis got dinged up a little bit, but does it feel like the Jackets have kind of settled into, you know what, this is going to be our 1-2 punch going forward?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that's one of those things that will be determined by the next general manager. I think back to when Tortorella came in here, a guy from outside the organization with very obviously strong opinions, but new eyes on everything. And that's the excitement of the new general manager as well. There are no pre-existing relationships. At least we assume there aren't with any of these players. So, you know, you'll get a full evaluation of the goaltending. To me, that would be interesting, but a little risky. Let's give it another month of the season, see how these guys can perform. Elvis and Tarasov both are on really hot streaks right now, the likes we've not seen since Sergei Bobrovsky was a Blue Jackets goaltender. I think they're both at like 930 save percentages since the middle of February, which is a really good sign. And you know what? Not to take anything away from them, but that speaks well to the play in front of them as well. It does all work together. Maybe just starting to turn a corner here in terms of responsible, reliable defensive play. But Tarasov is starting to look better the more play he gets. So maybe Elvis should be careful about sitting out of the lineup.
Come the end of the season and we're getting ready for, you know, the draft and everything like that, will we still have Pascal Vincent as the coach, or do you think they're going to move into a different direction?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the next GM call as well. He is signed, Pascal Vincent is, through next season. So one more year on his deal. I don't think that's a deal breaker by any stretch. If the new GM has a strong opinion about that, I think that would be certainly well within his right to bring his own guy. But there's a possibility, I think we should be prepared for, that the new GM is fine with Pascal Vincent and sees progress with these young players that I think many of us have seen throughout this season. But that, like so many other things, is to be determined by the next guy in that chair.
What did you think if we gave Johnny Gaudreau a chance to do a do-over, he'd still sign with Columbus?
Oh, good question.
Yeah, that's a great question. That's one you'll never get even an honest answer for, probably, from Johnny. I think he likes it here. I think the off-ice stuff that he expected is as good or better than he expected. He is closer to family, but, you know, not too close.
Right.
But, yeah, the on-ice stuff has been brutal. Nothing short. I mean, and I feel that way a little bit to a much less publicized degree, but Sean Corrali decided to come here because he thought he could really help his hometown team sustain. And I don't think he regrets it either, but I think there's certainly frustration with how that's gone. I think Johnny cares about winning and losing, obviously. I think the efforts to find someone who works with him have sort of landed on Boone Jenner, even though most agree that Jenner's not necessarily a number one NHL center. Can that be Fantilli? Is that somebody who's not here yet? It's been searching and wandering and wondering. There is some emerging talent here yet, but Gaudreau's not anywhere close to what he was that last season in Calgary. And I think a big part of this next GM's moves is to figure out how to unlock that talent. One thing that is really frustrating, I think, for them is even at healthy, both of them, Laine and Gaudreau, have been oil and water together. You can't play them on the same line. There's not enough pucks. So what do you do with that? Does one of them have to leave town? Are you trading Laine at a, you know, at a not at the right price? You're trading him when his market is devalued. Again, the first thing is for him to get back healthy and
right
and happy again.
Did you see that coming, Cody? Did you see it? The Laine Gaudreau? Did you see the Laine Gaudreau, like the oil and water thing you talked about? Did you see that coming, or were you surprised by that?
Oh, I was surprised by it because Gaudreau's a playmaker and Laine is a shooter. He is a shooter. He's got that big bomb that very few guys in this league have. I'm not smart enough to know why it doesn't work, but some lines just work and some don't. I remember when Brassard and Voracek were rookies and Hitch put him with Jason Chimera, and the prevailing thought was, is the old man crazy? What the hell is he thinking? It was a wonderful line until Brassard got hurt. Lines are weird, but for whatever reason, Gaudreau and Laine do not work.
Porty, we appreciate the time, brother. Thank you so much. You got some time off here, right? Because you had an afternoon game yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
finishing the Sunday notes right now.
There you go. I can't wait to see. Hey, I look forward to that every week on The Athletic. And the snacks, I love. I scroll down to that first, by the way. The snacks are the best thing. Then I go back and read the headline stuff. But, Porty, thank you so much, buddy. Subscribe to The Athletic and follow him on the X. He is at A Ports Line. Aaron, thank you so much, buddy.
Yep, you bet. Thanks, guys.
All right, that was Aaron Portsline covering since day one. Day zero, I guess.
Day zero. I mean, yeah, you got to talk about it. And I
love Porty.
I do, too.
He's the best. Coming up next, the defending Super Bowl champs locked up a key piece. We'll talk about that. Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio. Uncomfortably girthy. This promo is uncomfortable. The Fan, Ohio's girth destined. Instead of annoying national people talking to you this weekend, we've opted for annoying local people. This is Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday, Tito, Jen, Caleb with you, going to 1 o'clock, and then the Fan warm-up show starts with Timmy Hall.
You know it's getting real because Bodie's here setting up.
I'll say Bodie here also. It's a celebrity Sunday with Tim Hall and Bodie. Are you kidding me? Look out.
It's big time, man.
It's a good thing we have someone outside right now checking badges for the coming to the studio because of the fans. It's crazy with the rope out there. Bodie actually carries around. I don't know if you guys know this or not. And I love Bodie. He carries around a velvet rope and he puts it in front of him wherever he goes. He holds it out.
He's no dummy.
And if people try to tell him to, he said, behind the velvet rope, please.
Yeah.
Please stay behind the rope. I was losing Nebraska right now, 19-9.
You love to see it.
Caitlin Clark, 0-5 on threes, 0-6 for the game. She started off terribly the other night, too. I think she was like 0-11 or something on three.
She's 0-4 on flopping.
Okay. Bitter
I'm
party
still,
of one. I know.
That game last week. You. Oh, I was.
I know.
Spitting cuss words like crazy.
By the way, in the next segment at around 12:32, Kevin McGuff, head coach of the Ohio State women's basketball team, will join us. We'll talk to him about what their week looks like. They got some time off. Well, I'm sorry. They have no games. Let's put it that way.
They have no games.
It's time off. We got to ask about, is it time off or not for the girls? That team is amazing, and I can't wait to see what they do in the tournament. But, you know, they have no games for the next week.
Well, and it's spring break. So you think they're all going down to Daytona?
We'll see.
Probably not.
I'm going to guess no.
No.
By the way, the defending Super Bowl champs, Kansas City Chiefs, Chris Jones was someone who last year there was a point of contention with him as far as him coming back or not, whatever. He comes back, they win the Super Bowl, and now they signed into a 5-year deal.
They needed to. That was like
totally,
the number one. You've got to sign him.
$95 million guaranteed.
Good for him.
In this deal. The first 3 years, totally guaranteed. But he signs a 5-year deal, though. He's 29 years old with the Chiefs. He had 10.5 sacks last year. I said sacks, right? I almost sound like
sacks.
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 The 1-year deal that he had, and now he's back. And that's a great move for the Chiefs.
It is.
Smart move. Patrick Mahomes excited about it, so that's all good, too. He is now back with the Chiefs on a 5-year deal. Like I say, $95 million guaranteed, a massive deal. I have no idea how the cap works. There's a cap and there's all this other guaranteed dead, whatever money, deferred. I don't know how it works. Somehow the Chiefs, who have a $500 million deal with Mahomes, can sign a deal with Chris Jones where he's getting $95 million guaranteed.
Well, and honestly, we're going to start seeing what Tom Brady did with the Patriots in regards to Pat Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
He's, you know, changing his contract to, you know, make room for cap space and... Yeah, we'll end up seeing that here.
That'll end up happening. Yes, no doubt about it. So free agency will kick off next week, and there's all the running backs are out there. Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Tony Pollard, Austin Eckler. Those guys are all free agents. J.K. Dobbins. There's so many more out there. But there's.
Can you believe that J.K. has been around now long enough to become a free agent?
That's amazing. No,
like,
it is.
I can't believe. I mean, I know he's been hurt like the majority of the time.
Yeah.
But holy crap, I can't believe he's been around long enough and now it's time for his free agency.
Yep. So he'll probably have to sign like a 1-year kind of prove it deal that they talk about doing. But anyway, the free agency kickoff next week. We'll see what happens there. One of the free agents is Russell Wilson. And the Broncos, who have said they're going to release him, said go meet with other teams if you want. The way they presented it was for a trade. No one's going to trade for Russell Wilson. They're just giving him a heads up to go out there and talk to teams. He has talked to the Giants and the Steelers, and the Raiders also have an interest in him. So as Steelers fans, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
The Justin Fields market right now apparently is cold. Like, there's not a lot of people making offers, which I don't understand.
What the hell is going on with that at all?
Right. So if I'm giving you, though, an option, though, I'm going to give you 4 options for the Steelers starting quarterback next year.
Okay.
Would you rather have Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph?
Justin Fields.
Who would be second?
Mitch Trubisky.
See, Trubisky's not there.
I know.
He's in Buffalo.
I understand that.
Okay, I would rather have Fields and then Wilson over Pickett and Rudolph.
I hate Russell Wilson.
Well, he wasn't terrible last year. He had 26 touchdown passes, 8 interceptions.
He is done. He is over.
I don't think he's done.
He is so done and over with.
I don't think he's done.
I think he's done, Tito. I got to be honest.
He's trash.
I like him better than Pickett next year. I like him better than Rudolph next year.
Mitch Trubisky better than all three of those.
I don't like Trubisky there.
I don't know if that's saying too much either. I
mean, it might not be. But I saw, you know, an article by the other day about, you know, if the Steelers have Pickett again next year as a starting quarterback.
Then I'm just going to go run onto 315 and hope something hits.
No, but isn't it just like, though, the Patriots sticking with Mac Jones too long? It could be a similar situation like that, where maybe they stuck with him too long. So I hope they make a change.
Yeah, but at least, even though it was with Mason Rudolph, at least they made the freaking playoffs.
They did,
yes. Patriots didn't.
Right, I know. So, but we'll see what happens to Russell Wilson, though, where he ends up going. And he's making $39 million from the Broncos no matter what. Now, there's offset language in that deal to whereas whatever another team pays him, that's less than the Broncos have to pay him. So if the Steelers sign him to an $8 million deal, the $39 million from the Broncos becomes $31.
Right.
What that means is Russell Wilson's going to sign a minimum deal somewhere.
Well, you know what I mean? Yeah, and there's no way anybody's going to want to pay him.
No, so he'll get a minimum deal for 1 or 2 years. He's got a lot of money coming in from the Broncos.
He has a lot to prove. I'm sorry.
He does, but okay, bring him in then to compete with Pickett. Bring him in to compete with Pickett. If you can't get Fields, if you don't get Fields, because I think they can. If you don't get Justin Fields, who I would love to have in Pittsburgh. If you don't get Justin Fields, get Russell Wilson, have him on a minimum deal, have him compete with Pickett.
I hate all of it. I hate it all. I just want them to sign Justin Fields and let's just move on.
They trade for Justin Fields,
Just move on with our lives.
I'd love to do that. Yeah, I'd love to see it do that.
Because the way that things are going, it's just going to be same stuff, different year, and they're going to go and they're going to make a first-round playoff. They're going to lose. They're going to be stuck with, you know, a 20 in the draft. They'll be ranked 20th. They'll pick somebody and you'll never hear from them again, and then it'll just... It's a cycle just repeating itself.
So that'll all start next week with NFL free agency. We'll see what happens and who goes where, who gets signed where. It's in the legal tampering period, whatever the hell that means.
That means that they're allowed to.
I know. You're allowed to illegally tamper.
Illegally tamper, well, but whatever. You can't put pen to paper until, you know, whatever.
Zeke Elliott, a free agent, by the way. There's a lot of running backs out there that can be had.
Well, and that's the other thing is like, who's going to. Derrick Henry, to me, is. I'm going to be interested to see where he's going to go.
He'll go to the Ravens.
Watch. God, that'll make me sick.
He'll go to the Ravens.
That would be.
That team is so good.
Really scary.
Saquon Barkley so linked to the Cowboys because that's what the Cowboys do.
Yeah.
I could see it happening.
It's gross.
Ew.
Isn't that gross?
All right. Coming up next, Ohio State women's head coach Kevin McGuff joins us for the women's team. We'll do that next. Fan Sports Sunday on the Fan.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead. Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Just because it's the weekend doesn't mean we shut up. This is Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday, Tito, Jen, Caleb with you. And now we're going out to the Bryant Heating and Cooling System Fan Guest Hotline, joined by Ohio State women's head basketball coach Kevin McGuff. And Kevin, when I started the show, I said I wish you were not available today because I wish you were playing right now. Nonetheless, it did not happen that way. Now, a couple days removed from it, what happened on Friday?
Yeah, really disappointing. You know, We've played so well this year and really hung our hat on our competitive character. And we did not have the same focus, energy, and intensity that we played with for most of this season. And, you know, really can't exactly put my finger on it, but, you know, we're going to get back in the gym this week and make sure we get it fixed.
That's what Jen was wondering.
Yeah.
So she was saying, do they go on spring break or does Kevin have him in the gym? I guess that answers the question then, right?
Yeah, we'll be in the gym for sure. Just trust me. We're going to be in there. So, we're going to be getting some work done and just making sure that we're ready to show up and be the team we're capable of being the next time we get a chance to play.
I mean, because you guys are going to have a hell of a long time off. You've got the whole week leading up to either Friday, Saturday of next week?
Yeah, correct.
Wow.
So we'll have this entire week. We'll have selection Sunday, a week from today, find out what our draw is, and then we'll play either the following Friday or Saturday.
So what's it been like for your team? Like, how have they responded? Because now you obviously, look, the team and you also and all of us here, we thought you'd be playing this weekend beyond Friday, and the fact that you're not, how has the team responded to that, And how do you as a coach through that?
Well, we were extremely disappointed after the game, and you know, they knew that we didn't put our best foot forward. You know, and give Maryland credit, they played really well and deserved to win. And so we were off. We got back early morning Saturday. We took Saturday, Sunday off, and we'll be back in the gym tomorrow. So we'll get back together and get going around noon tomorrow.
What's the mood on the team? Like, what did you sense coming back Saturday as far as, like, the focus or as far as the reaction to the loss?
I think a lot of disappointment, especially out of our upperclassmen who, you know, expected to do more. We played in the championship game a year ago, and we expected to, you know, go game by game to get there again. It just didn't happen, and, you know, we got to own that, the fact that we didn't play well, and just got to make sure we assess it. We'll watch some film and learn from it and then get back on the court and keep getting better and make sure we get our edge back.
That's what I was going to ask. You're going to watch the film of it probably tomorrow. And then how difficult is it for you to just move on? I in my mind, because I'm so pessimistic, I couldn't imagine like just having that on my mind the entire week. How do you deal with that? And then you just focus on, you know, the task at hand and you're going to the dance.
Yeah, well, I think it's a balance of moving on. But before we move on, we need to watch the film and process that and learn from it to make sure we don't make a repeat mistake.
Yeah.
And so I want them to have to watch it and see it and internalize it. Then we move on. But I just feel like as a coach, if we don't take that step in the process, then we haven't learned what we can learn from it.
Just without, you know, dissecting the film frame by frame, which I'm sure you'll do, but without dissecting it that way, though, is like, what did you see schematically? What did you see execution wise that your team did or did not do that led to the result against Maryland?
Well, I mean, there were a couple clear things. One, we didn't rebound the ball at all. We had really poor effort rebounding, and it was a combination of not hitting them, being physical, and really just simply not pursuing the ball, going grabbing it with two hands. Simple things. And then one, it was really interesting because we had just played them, I don't know, a week or 10 days ago, and we executed really well on offense, and we did not execute. We did not move ourselves. We did not move the ball to generate quality shots like we did 10 days ago, and they defended the same. And then lastly, we just didn't guard the ball very well. They got to the rim and to the free throw line too many times.
As I'm looking at this, Kevin, by the way, Kevin McGuff joins us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling System Fan Guest Hotline, head basketball coach of the Ohio State women's team. And you're watching Iowa play Nebraska right now, and Nebraska's had some success early on. And like you mentioned, you know, the Maryland, 10 days before this game, you guys fought off a Maryland charge in the third quarter and won that game and executed offensively. And I'm, you know, as much as we can look at it, say a top-seeded Ohio State got beat in the first round, I think it speaks more, and maybe you agree with this as well, to the depth of the Big Ten.
Yeah, oh yeah, this is a great conference with a lot of talent, excellent coaches. It's really, really deep. I mean, for us to be playing Maryland as the 8th seed is incredible because they're a very good team, and I think they could have some success in the NCAA tournament.
Ebony Walker, is she, I know she's been out for a while now, is she going to be available for the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, you know, she's been away from the team, and since we haven't been back in the office, we're going to revisit that this week and kind of see where it goes.
What's the schedule look like then for you this week? I know you said you're practicing. Like, is it and you know, Jen mentioned the fact you have all this downtime, which I personally hate for the women's game. They got to wait this long to do this. You know, like as a coach, how do you decide and where to ramp up practices?
Yeah, it's tough. You got to kind of assess where your team is from a health standpoint and just, you know, do we need more rest or do we need more practice? And I think for our group, it's a combination of both. So we will practice or do something most days this week, and we'll probably take a couple days off on the weekend as we kind of head into the selection show Sunday evening.
Will you guys watch it together?
And then depending on when we play, Friday or Saturday, that'll kind of shape how we manage the week leading up to the game.
Will it be a watch party for the tournament selection show?
Yeah, we've got some people working on that in the department. I don't know that we've landed on exactly what this format's going to look like, but it'll be some type of watch party.
Just curious, with Cody McMahon, she had an awful shooting game, 3 for 17. And we know she's one of the most talented players in the country. When she has a game like that as a head coach, do you address it or do you just say, you know what, she's gonna be fine?
Well, what we'll do with her is we'll assess the quality of the shots. And as long as she is taking good shots, then I don't think that's going to happen again. But if she's taking bad shots, then we got to point those out to make sure she doesn't take those. And you know, during the game, I felt like for the most part, she was getting good shots and she was getting shots around the rim. She just wasn't finishing.
Yeah, it's tough to be in team three times, especially a well-coached Maryland team. Yeah. So no shame in that, but you know, we got the next part of the season coming up. Kevin, thank you so much.
We'll talk again
soon, and have a great rest of your weekend, Coach.
Okay, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That was Kevin McGuff, head coach of the women's basketball team, joining us there. I love talking to Kevin McGuff.
I do, too, and I just want all the best. I just want them to make it to the Final Four and win.
Go to the... I had that discussion with Maddie Andrews.
I don't ask for much. I
had a discussion, and I should have asked McGuff there. I didn't do it, but I should have asked him the same question I asked Matt. I asked Andrews his opinion, and I asked him what he thinks Kevin would say. What is a successful season? And I asked it like 2 weeks ago now.
Right.
And is it win the Big Ten tournament, get to the Final Four? Is it get to the Final Four, regardless of the Big Ten tournament? And I'm curious what a successful season looks like for the Ohio State women's team. And I think right now, successful season, God, I think they've already had one, but I don't want to put the burden to Final Four, but they should get there, right? They've got the talent to
get there. They've got the talent. And I think once they get locked in and they know who it is they're going to face, you know, that first game,
right?
They're going to get locked in and it's going to be game on. And I know this team, they can do it. And I just... I hope it happens.
I also feel like this has been like a long time in the making. You know, like they've been talking about getting to the Final Four since, you know, Taylor Mikesell was here last year. I know she was hammering that heavy early on last year.
Sure.
And, you know, now you bring over Celeste Taylor. Obviously, JC's been here. You know, this is her final season.
Yep.
You know, Cody coming on and being the star that she has been. Man, like I really want to see this team go to the Final Four because it's been such a fun joy and pleasure to cover them.
Like I said, the bracketologist on ESPN has Ohio State right now as a 2 seed in the same bracket as South Carolina. I don't want to see that.
No.
Hopefully, if they get a 2 seed, hopefully in a different region. I think they can, and not to say they can't beat South Carolina. I'm just saying South Carolina is undefeated, best team in the country, and it'd be tough to do that. It'd be an easier road with anybody else, but we'll see. There's a lot going on. Iowa, obviously, their game right now with Nebraska is one to watch to see if that affects things. USC plays Stanford later on.
Iowa's coming back. It's only a 4-point difference. No, it's 6-point difference.
Yeah, so.
Now 4 points.
Now it's 4 points. We'll see what happens in that one, though. But coming up next, it was an interesting week for old-ass athletes. We'll talk about that next. Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Whatever you're doing right now, just know that Bo Bishop is enjoying a sip of bourbon. Even if this promo is playing in the morning, no judgment.
Ah, sweet morning drinking.
The Fan. We firmly believe it's appropriate to tailgate before a youth soccer game. You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
Indeed you are. Fan Sports Sunday, Tito, Jen, Caleb. Timmy Hall is going to be here next.
He's here. He's ready.
He is.
He's excited.
Buckeyes play Rutgers today on the road. Buckeyes favored on the road.
Let's hope that happens.
Yes, Buckeyes are favored on the road against Rutgers. Need a win here and then an impressive performance coming up in the Big Ten tournament to have any kind of chance at the NCAA tournament. Mike Tyson this week.
I'm Mike Tyson.
It was announced he will fight Jake Paul on July 20th at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. And Tyson will be 58 at the time of the fight. Jake Paul, 27. I am pumped.
I will watch it because we have Netflix.
It's on Netflix, yes.
And that's about all I got to say.
Okay.
About
that. But I'll be excited if it's a real fight.
It'll be interesting. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, what besides smoking a lot of weed does Mike Tyson do?
There's videos out there. I'm telling you, he's still a bad, bad man.
Mike Tyson still strikes the fear of God.
If it's a real fight. Now, when Tyson fought Roy Jones Jr. a few years back, when I say a few, it could be 10. Hell, I don't know. When he fought him, though, it was very much a exhibition.
Yeah.
If this is a real fight, because Jake Paul makes it sound like he wants to have real fights, real boxers, real opportunities and all these things. If it's a real fight, God, I can't wait. Okay. If it's a fake one.
I feel like it's going to be a fake one, though. I don't
know. Paul's 9-1. He beat Nate Diaz. He beat Anderson Silva. Tyron Woodley. He knocked out Nate Robinson. I remember that one. I hope it's a real fight. Because I want to see Tyson destroy Jake Paul.
I will say, I don't think he's knocking, like, he's definitely not knocking Mike Tyson out, you know?
I think.
I can't see that happening.
Like, so you gotta hope that Mike still got that right hand.
I don't know. It's, any way you look at it, it's going to be a shame, and yes, I will watch it.
Tyson 100%. Fought Roy Jones Jr. November 28th, 2020, in a draw.
Okay.
When no one was really hitting each other. They were being very careful. I want to see a real fight.
Well, and that was also, like, peak COVID time, too. So,
yes.
Yeah, no one was really hitting or coming very close in contact with
They both
one
had
another.
Masks on, right? Yeah. They had to be 50 feet away from each other.
Right.
Also, and this was interesting to me as well, on Saturday night, the Savannah Bananas, who have grown in popularity.
Oh, they're fun.
They are. I've never watched them play. I've just watched highlights of them play on YouTube and whatnot. Savannah Bananas last night were playing at Minute Maid Park in Houston. And according to The Athletic, they were facing their arch rival, whatever that is. The party animals.
That's right.
As part of their 2024 Banana Ball World Tour. In the top of the second inning, there were two outs for the Bananas in the field. They brought in Roger Clemens to pitch. 40,000 people gave him a standing ovation. He had his number 22 jersey. He comes out. Roger Clemens is 61 years old. 61. Goodness. Older than Tyson. Gave a two-run single, and they ended up scoring five runs when he was in the game. Some of them, two of them were inherited runs, though, but Clemens ended up getting out of the inning. And then in the top of the sixth with two outs, Roy Oswalt came in.
Wow.
He gave up one run on three hits and then struck out his last batter he faced. Oswalt, I think, is like 46 or something, but nonetheless. Yeah, a lot younger, yeah, than Clemens was. I love things like this. Look, I hate Clemens.
Oh, he's
I do.
Trash.
I hate Clemens because, like, for years I was like, oh, there's no way this guy's juicing. He's just got this great training regimen. You know, he's the best pitcher of all time. And then it turns out he was a liar and a fraud. sue me. I don't care. Say it. I don't care. Someone sent it to Clemens. I don't care. Reach out to me. But nonetheless, I like it when I see these guys. I'm excited about the Tyson thing. I like the fact that Clemens did that, that Oswalt did it. And Tyson is not, there's a time when boxers who are too old and out of shape should not be boxing. Larry Holmes went way too long. Obviously, Ali went way too long. Uh-huh. Roy Jones Jr. went way too long. I have a feeling Tyson's still in decent shape. I think that Clemens being 61 and still pitching is okay, and so is Oswalt.
Yeah, I mean, it's a non-contact really sort of thing.
Right.
And that's, yeah, it's more feasible for a pitcher than I would assume a heavyweight boxer, but you know, they do what they want to do. It's their life. Let them live it.
Go back and look at Tyson's, like, recent videos. You can see videos of him out there training. And the dude looks menacing.
I mean, he's a scary person.
He is. By the way, Nebraska leads Iowa 46-35 at the half. Caitlin Clark, 2-for-13 from the field, 0-for-9 on threes.
Ooh.
Now, she does have 8 assists.
What a She's time got 4 for her points, to go cold,
3 rebounds, 8 assists. Iowa's a team is 13-for-38 in the field. Nebraska 17-for-37. If Iowa loses this game, do you think Ohio State gets a 1 seed, Jen?
That's a good question. I'm going to say no.
So you think Ohio State will be a 2?
I think Ohio State will stay at 2, and I think it's just because of the optics from last week, which suck, but I think that's the way that the committee's going to look at it.
They like to look at teams, how they finish.
Yeah.
And Ohio State lost their last two games.
Yep. I mean, right? they lost the regular season finale, which,
to
you know,
Iowa, yep.
They had everything wrapped up, whatever. It was a homer game for Iowa and Caitlin mm-hmm. Clark. But I think the way in which they lost, unfortunately, on Friday against Maryland, that's going to make them a two seed.
Caleb, Ohio State women, if Iowa loses, are they a one or two seed?
I think we're still a one. I think they would still be a one
if
Iowa loses, only because I think Iowa winning the Big Ten championship is what would give them kind of the advantage as like the one seed now. Because, I mean, what, you got South Carolina's pretty set. UCLA, Stanford, probably. Well, I mean, UCLA, I guess they just lost to USC, but
USC, Stanford play today in the Pac-12 championship.
I still like their odds to be a one seed as of now.
I've seen like anywhere from mostly 2 and 3 is where I've seen them. And I have seen some cases where they think they might be a 3, which I hope would not happen. But if Iowa loses this game, they fall to 28-5. Ohio State is 25-5. They split with Iowa. Against teams in the top 25, Ohio State 4-3, Iowa 4-2. Against teams in the USA Today poll, Ohio State 3-4, Iowa 4-2. So 3-3. All right, coming up next, stick around. Ohio State's men's got a big game against Rutgers.
Let's
Timmy Hall
go,
is going
man.
To join you. Yes, this is a huge game as they make the drive with Jake Diebler to try to get into the NCAA tournament. We'll do that next. This is Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM.